This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Doctor in the House series. It's a Friday, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist with me. How are you today, George?
I'm very excited.
Because it was World Diabetes Day.
Well, partly that. It's because Tuesday is going to be a public holiday again, and it's going to be a long weekend, and the sun is shining, and, you know, we've got so many things to look forward to.
Yes.
And, of course, today's topic.
On diabetes.
Indeed.
14th of November, which is just Wednesday, was World Diabetes Day, and the theme happens to be the family and diabetes. I was wondering until I got reading up and realized how much families actually need to get involved when one person is diagnosed. It's got a genetic link. Often more than one person has it. What does it mean for the rest of the family? As soon as one person is diagnosed, you know, the rest of the family has a role in helping this person manage the diabetes and so on and so forth. So if you are a diabetic or you have a family member who is diabetic, you want to share this story as to how the family came together to support the diabetic patient. Well, give us a call. The number is 0377332900. You can WhatsApp 0187898899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And joining us also, joining Dr. George and I, is Dr. Masni Muhammad. She's a consultant endocrinologist from Hospital Putrajaya. Welcome to the show, Dr. Masni. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thanks, Mira.
George, you and diabetes, I mean, in your line of work with men, with men's health, I mean, how much of a problem is it?
Oh, yeah, humongous problem. Because, you know, on our side of work you will get many patients who present themselves with a erectile dysfunction, sexual dysfunction, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Majority of them will have the three dyslipidemia, the three conditions.
Three in one.
Hypertension, dyslipidemia, and also glucose intolerance.
Dyslipidemia meaning cholesterol.
Cholesterol, that's right. So it all comes in a package. Essentially, it's a modern-day disease. And we keep hearing about all these. So, you know, we're very fortunate to get Dr. Masni to explain a little bit about how we overcome these challenges of the 21st century.
Yes. Dr. Masni, we all know in Southeast Asia, Malaysia has the highest number of diabetics in that region. Mm-hmm. Not something to be proud of. But how many people are living in Malaysia with diabetes? How many exactly?
But before I talk about Malaysia, worldwide there's about 425 million population with diabetes, 1 in 11, more than 20 years old. In Malaysia, we have our National Health Mobility Survey every 5 years. Mm-hmm. The latest is 2015. So 1 in 6 of population more than 18 years old and above are diabetic.
1 in 11 1
in
globally?
6, yes.
Compared
Malaysia,
to Malaysia, 1,
1 in 6.
6.
And equivalent about 3.6 million population more than 18 years old are diabetic. Mm.
1.6 million, did you say?
No, 3.6.
3.6.
Sorry. 3.6 million.
Isn't that like almost 10% of our population?
Of the adult
population.
This
is more than 18 years old.
Oh, yes, of course.
More than 18.
More than 18. Yes. Okay, so 1 in 6, that's almost half, as in double. Mm. Malaysia almost has double the number.
And surprisingly, from that 1 in 6, half of them walking around undiagnosed.
Without knowing that they have it.
Half of them.
Half of them.
Right, okay. Or knowing that something is wrong, but refusing to acknowledge that.
But then again, you know, there may not be symptoms. What do we look out for?
They are asymptomatic. They may be symptomatic, they may not be symptomatic. So those are symptomatic, so the symptoms of high glucose in the blood, or hyperglycemia, we call it. Polyuric, when they pass a lot of urine, especially at night, start to lose weight, they feel thirsty when they pass a lot of urine, poor wound healing, numbness, blurred vision, may have erectile dysfunction as early signs. So those are the symptoms. Or they can be asymptomatic, walking around with the sugar of 11, 15, without symptoms.
Okay. Why do you think Malaysia has such a high number of diabetics?
Yeah, I mean, Mira and I did a show before, and then apparently Putrajaya seems to be ranking quite high.
Putrajaya is the fattest.
Fattest probably correlate with high number of people with diabetes as well.
But you'd be surprised, the state that have the highest rate of diabetes is Kedah.
Kelantan. Oh, Kedah.
Kedah. For the police.
followed by Perlis.
Kedah has been number first or second, first and second, always second or third, always on high.
Do we know why?
I think partly because of the food. They have glutinous breakfast, rice in the morning, in
nasi
the afternoon
daga,
also nasi daga, the pulut. So when I went there, so that's their staple food, breakfast, lunch and dinner. Me partly because of that. Because maybe dado padi, they produce a lot of rice.
But you imagine that if this is this is a tradition that has gone on for generation and generation, why is it emerging now that we have so many people with diabetes?
Because they worked the paddy fields and we don't anymore.
Previously, they work hard at the paddy field, but now it is all machines. No machines and urbanization now. With our sedentary lifestyle, with our food are getting more processed and processed food, high sugary food, right? So those are the things that make it worse. Urbanization increase. Obesity, yes. The diabetes increase proportionately with the obesity. Unlike in US, obesity definitely significantly high, but the diabetes is not as much as us.
Why
despite
is that?
Obesity.
Why?
But because of the genetic, our genes. Do play a role. A big role.
Can you elaborate this a little bit? I'm saying my grandmother suffers from diabetes and then my mother always say she has a touch of glucose intolerance. You know, it's like just a touch of diabetes doesn't really... Am I just doomed to get it regardless of how hard I work on my diet and also my exercise?
So the pre-diabetic, so she had that touch of... could be she's pre-diabetic. The pre-diabetic is high risk of getting... diabetes later on.
Can you elaborate for the benefit of the listeners exactly what is this touch of diabetes and what is pre-diabetic or glucose intolerance?
So that touch of diabetes could be just pre-diabetic. So pre-diabetic could be divided into two, the impaired glucose tolerance and the impaired fasting glucose. So because we have the range of 7 and above is diabetic if fasting glucose. And if we do glucose tolerance tests where they have to drink 75 gram of glucose and check glucose before and 2 hours after. So if let's say your glucose is about 7.8 to 11, so that's pre-diabetic, impaired glucose tolerance.
Anybody who's pre-diabetics, are they really destined to become diabetic?
50% of them will become diabetic within 5 to 10 years.
If you, is there anything that you do can prevent that ultimate doom?
Yes. Multiple studies have been done. You do lifestyle changes, you can reduce that 90%, can prevent that diabetes by lifestyle changes.
Right.
The lifestyle changes we're talking about is a dietary intervention and, of course, a physical activity increase. So just let me depict one famous study, diabetes prevention study. So that was a diabetes prevention study where they control the dietary intake and the intensive physical activity where they have a physical trainer for each patient. So it prevent compared to oral. They start oral for that patient, another group of patients. But they exceed, this physical activity exceed compared to the another group.
Those who started on oral medication.
Yes.
Okay.
But meaning physical activity, lifestyle changes, healthy, balanced diet can prevent diabetes.
So in line with what you're saying is that if somebody already is diagnosed with diabetes, is that reversible?
Once diagnosed, I would say it's irreversible, but there's always a but. If this is diabetes with obesity related, we coined the word of diabesity, so it may be preventable if the patient lost a lot of weight, minimum about 10%, 5 to 10% of the weight. It may, but must be early. It must be early.
Must be early.
But yes, it's interesting you say only if it's linked to obesity.
Yes.
If you're, it's in your genes, that's a different story.
But,
and hence the theme, diabetes and the family. Is that why the focus on the family this year?
Yes, the reason for focus is family mainly to raise the awareness of this diabetes among that they're high risk of getting it among the family members. Also, there is awareness about the signs and symptoms for the family members to detect when they're high risk. Because about 4 out of 5 family members, they know they're high risk, they're not aware of the signs and symptoms of diabetes. Study has been done. And 1 out of 3 don't know what to do.
Right.
If, let's say, they have diabetes, they're diagnosed among the family members, they don't know what to do.
So what are you supposed to do?
Get more knowledge about it. Be aware of these symptoms. If you have the genes, you have to be aware of it. Start screening yourself. Start knowing having knowledge of the signs and symptoms of diabetes and what to do next and how to manage, where to go. Right? Okay, so you know, those kind of things.
We in Malaysia, we love to hide these things. We don't like to tell family members about it because it almost feels like a weakness.
I agree.
I do know of people who have diabetes and don't tell other family members. What's the downside of that? Because if it is indeed so genetically linked, then there's a high chance everybody else and future generations are actually going to be prone to this.
Family acceptance is very important, personally and also as medically, being a field professional. The first thing, if let's say we have any good news or bad news, usually we tend to go to the family. Some we need their acceptance, sometimes just need a hug. So the acceptance from family members is important because knowing the disease itself, detecting it early, they know if let's say they have any complications, the family is the first to get to know. So they can detect and to prevent the complications from getting worse. Just let me give an example. Let's say patient on the father is the one diabetic, so on insulin. So let's say he tells the family members. The family knows insulin can cause hypoglycemia. So let's say the family members knows the symptoms of hypoglycemia, so they can detect and treat it early. Rather than patient get severe hypoglycemia, the low blood glucose, they have to bring it down. Once it's too bad, it can cause death too. Mm-hmm. It can lead to death.
Based on your experience, how have families coped with one person getting diagnosed with diabetes? I mean, it sort of changes the whole dynamics, isn't it? How the rest of the family comes together to support this person, how we need to change our diet. Mm. And that's the biggest challenge living in this country. Could you change your diet? My goodness, no.
I tell you, we're going to get so many people calling
in. Where is
in.
That pulut? I want that pulut. You know, give us a call. We're discussing diabetes and the family today. How, you know, if you're diabetic and you've had an experience having your family members support you or vice versa, give us a call. The number 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bulletins for managers, BFM 89.9.
Good evening. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, joining me this Friday afternoon. Also with us, Dr. Masni Muhammad. She's a consultant endocrinologist from Hospital Putrajaya. We're discussing diabetes and the family. It was World Diabetes Day on Wednesday, the 14th of November, and the theme was the family and diabetes. Did you think it was time for a theme like that to get families involved? Because, you know, Dr. Masni, families automatically sort of get involved when one member of the family is, you know, is affected by diabetes. But this involvement is not automatically a good thing. Mm. Some people struggle with it. Could you just talk to us about that?
Okay. It can be 1% in family. It can be 2% affected by diabetes. Yeah? So it double or triple jeopardy. So the role of family in the management, it can... it's huge because it can be involving in the management of it can be to prevent the complications same time. So the management itself, it comes from the lifestyle. So once someone has diabetes in the family, the dietary in the family should be changed. So are they willing to support that person with diabetes to change?
You can't
their
possibly
diet.
Have everyone yeah, else force, eating once, yes. one thing and then, you know, the diabetic
yeah,
has a different table.
We can't force them, but in a way to support them, we have to get involved in changing our dietary at the same time. Mm. In a way, it's good. So for those on the family members not diabetic, it helps them to prevent, adopt a healthy lifestyle. So that's good in a way, but being Malaysian, are we willing to give up our food? Mm-hmm. We have good food every state. So, okay, that will be just dietary itself. What about the physical activity? Are we willing to go and support our mother to go, help taman, our mother to go to the beach or to the taman, just to have a walk with her? Because it can be fragile, these old ladies or these mothers, fragile. So, are we willing to walk with her? It should be, for the physical activity should be about 30 minutes, 3 times per week, minimum. Mm-hmm. So are we willing to spend that time? Okay, we should. because that will help to reduce the blood glucose, to help to build up the muscle for these diabetic patients, right? Okay, so that was physical activity. What about medications? When they are on insulin, we have to remind them. So we need to know that kind of support. If let's say they're on metformin or dimacron, so a gentle reminder for them, have you taken your dimacron prior to breakfast? Oh, I've forgotten. So maybe they could do that. Or insulin. Okay, just a tickle, just remind them. So that kind of support is important.
Yeah, well, okay. I hear what you're saying, that basically it's timely, that it's appropriate, obviously, to get family members to get involved. What you're saying is that family members become supportive in order to make sure that they're compliant in their diet and also medications. What about the people who have got real complications? For example, we all know diabetes can induce the retinopathy, so that will end up with blindness. Will induce cardiomyopathy, that were heart diseases.
Dialysis,
you know, to cause nephropathy, and also neuropathy, and then actually result
in amputation,
foot infections, and that sort of thing. This, when it affect individuals in the family, obviously the whole family will be affected. Can you elaborate a little bit for listeners out there who have individual, who have parents who face situations like that? How do they support their families in terms of making sure these conditions don't deteriorate?
If let's say they're on dialysis. Kidney disease are well known. Okay, Malaysia is the highest contributor for diabetes is... the biggest contributor for renal failure, they have to go for dialysis. And Malaysia contribute 6 out of 10 of the dialysis is due to diabetes. Malaysia is the highest. We always compare.
Comparatively with global data?
Global data.
But isn't that in a very advanced stage of diabetes when you're already on kidney, you know, kidney failure is almost like the
end stage
of diabetes, right?
But it's so common though.
That's terrible to think that a lot
we
of us are
the highest in the world, Mira. We're the highest. But so they did study whether this could be genetic per se or could be because of our supplement, etc. Okay, so
does that translate to the control of diabetes is so poor that the large proportions of the sufferers ended up with dialysis? Is that what that translates to?
Yes.
So our management is bad.
Yes, partly. We blame, of course, the doctors are partly to be blamed, but. This is half-half.
Why are the doctors to be blamed?
Well, they're not fierce enough to get out the rot done.
Well, I would say because of the medication, the certain medications are a bit lacking. We are not perfect, but definitely better compared to certain countries. Of course, I would say half-half.
I like the way you say doctors are to be blamed. I think culturally, we don't treat diabetes as a serious enough disease. Do you not think so? Even, you know, sometimes people turn up with glucose of about constantly above 10. And then the doctors kind of say, well, yeah, you know, why don't we just change the medication a little bit and monitor in 3 months' time rather than just get you admitted, get you stringently monitored, and then constantly sent out like nurse practitioners into the community. Do we have that multidisciplinary approach to enforce such stringent monitoring of the diabetic and glucose levels?
We do. Okay, but in clinic kesehatan, where 80% of our diabetic population, type 2 diabetic, are getting the treatment, is 80% from clinic kesehatan and also hospital. So 60% from clinic kesehatan. Clinic kesehatan have large burden of type 2 diabetic. Mm-hmm. Large burden. They have only about 5 to 8 minutes to see one patient. Mm-hmm. So there will be, that's why I say it's a bit lacking in our part. Because they have only about 5 to 10 minutes to see one patient. Hospital, they have a bit more time. I can sit down and talk and I can refer to my dietitian. I can refer to my diabetic educator. I can refer to my pharmacist. So it will be multidisciplinary approach in hospital. But when it comes to clinic kesehatan, where 60% of them are getting the treatment, that's the lacking part.
Okay.
But that's the lacking part.
And hence we're getting the families involved,
yes.
George.
In the setting in other countries, presumably it's the community that have that multidisciplinary approach. Is that correct?
Yes. We are getting the community to get involved, but how many families are coming in? Not many. You'll be surprised about 1/3 of family members are willing to come in. This is mainly from my observation. Less than 1/3. Willing to check their mother's glucometer or their father's glucometer or their, they themselves, their diabetic. Oh, they will give, but it's not cheap. All are costly. Those things are costly.
Right, so yeah. Cost is another reason.
Cost is another reason. Besides the lifestyle, of course.
So, okay. I mean, Mira said that hence we get the family to get involved.
Yeah.
Is that a realistic aspiration? Because in order to achieve that multidisciplinary approach, you need a dietitian to ensure the diet truly is sugar-free, carb-free. And you need a foot care person to make sure the nails are okay. You need somebody who actually will do the daily glucose monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
You need eye care. Mm-hmm. You need urine analysis and checks, that sort of thing.
Uh-uh.
How much can family members do? Can you elaborate that a bit, please?
The family members, where they come in is their education, their knowledge, their awareness about this disease. So once they know about this disease, they can implement, such as for the diet intervention, the dietary intervention. So once they have to come with their parents or the subject themselves to get the knowledge of about diabetic diet, once they get that knowledge, they implement. So they have to come together. We always encourage whoever the diabetic person come with the family members. We always encourage that so that they will... The one that cooking is someone else.
Yes.
I'm cooking someone else.
Mm.
So it has to be someone come with family members. And we make a space, make a point of doing that. Right? Okay, for physical activity, we do have this rehab that come as a group to do the exercise as a group therapy.
Okay.
Because they thought, oh, exercise is just walk, it's just jogging. They don't have actually the idea of exercise on chair.
You've spoken chair. About how mm-hmm. 1 in 6 of us above mm-hmm. the age of 18 here in Malaysia is actually diabetic,
yes.
and half of whom you said don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know mm-hmm. we're actually walking mm-hmm. around with diabetes. Now, Wes, you're seeing younger and younger people coming through. You know, you're now talking about the machis and the pachis, the older person
mm-hmm.
who, you know, has these challenges. Mm-hmm. But what about the younger person?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to them and who supports them and you know...
When they are busy with their work.
Yes.
Great question.
Trying to put food on the table. You probably have a parent who's diabetic, you're diabetic, and now you hope your children don't become diabetic, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, if let's say more than 30 years and above, the percentage, that ratio is higher. More than 30, 1 in 5 are diabetic. That's from our National Health Mobility Survey. So they are busy with their work. At the same time, they are burdened with their chronic illness, which is diabetes. It may be just diabetes. It can, most of the time, they are 2-in-1 or 3-in-1 with the hypertension, dyslipidemia. So they are bogged down with this chronic illness. And once they have this chronic illness, quite a number of them are depressed. Depression and diabetes are a known correlation also. So they're not that, when they are busy, they do not care of taking, do not have time to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They just do whatever they eat whatever they have. They don't have time for exercise. When they're busy with other things, they prioritize their work compared to their health. I'm seeing this is a reality. I'm seeing more and more 30s, diabetic with 20s and 30s, getting complications, blindness, young, heart attack. We are getting more. They are worse compared to this elderly diabetic. Worse. So, because they prioritize.
They're in their productive years on top of that.
And they will take a lot of leaves because of their illness. Yep. Yeah.
We have a comment here from Jo Lin Jian. She's saying, I think doctors are to be blamed because we do not make weight loss an important part of our counselling. Even before diabetes starts, we take it lightly. We don't counsel parents that children's weight must be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Our society has a skewed perspective that chubby children are cute. But we do not realize that they're unhealthy and will grow into diabetic adults. So yes, we are to be blamed for not nipping diabetes in the you-know-where.
Yeah.
So that's coming from Jo Lin Jian. Mm. So, you know, do we have a guideline to manage diabetes? Please tell me we do, because this sounds terribly scary.
We do, of course.
It does sound scary. And the biggest question I think listeners out there want answer to is, number one, why are we... as a nation, to have 1 in 6 adults above 18 who are diabetic, comparatively to our neighbours, let's say Myanmar or Cambodia, what are we doing differently? And also, the other statistics which you highlighted, which is a bit scary, is that we have the larger proportion of people end up with dialysis because of poor diabetic care. So what are we doing wrong here, and how do we move forward from here?
Tough questions, George. Okay, what are we doing wrong? The medicines are there, even though a bit slightly lacking. It's all cheap in Ministry Hospital. I wouldn't say cheap. The burden of being being taken up by the Ministry Hospital. So what are we doing wrong here? We are not detecting early. I would say partly both the doctors and also the patients. It's not easy to manage. It's not easy to accept that you're diabetic. So diabetic is a silent killer. So in the initial part, usually they have denial. So once denial, the sugar gets worse. Okay, so they will try to control the first part of their life. But subsequently, this is chronic. This is a diagnosis for life. So in between, there will be yo-yos, up and down. They're okay after they saw their doctor. Then they forgot. Then it's okay after seeing a doctor again. Yeah. If let's say we advise, okay, we want to start we want to start you on insulin or want to start you on this medication, but quite a number of patients will be reluctant.
Can I ask just one question?
To check on sugar, reluctant to do it?
Correct. So can I just ask 50, one question?
50, I guess.
How many of our diabetics are diabetic because it's due to hereditary issues, or how many of them are diabetic because of lifestyle issues?
Yeah, nurture or nature? Also, which one is nature? How many proportions?
We are talking mainly about type 2 diabetes.
Type 2
diabetes,
yes,
is preventable. 90% is preventable.
So you would say 10% or less will be genetic.
I'm not finished yet. 90% is preventable. Okay, we have the genes. When it comes to type 2 diabetic, we have polygenes.
Understand.
Yeah, so because of the polygenes, so if let's say one of the genes will be stimulated, become diabetic because of the lifestyle. So it will be, if we are sedentary, so it will be easily come up with obesity. And the other genes let's say it will be stimulated because of our dietary intake, processed food. So if all these are combined, so they get it early. If we take care, so it can be prevented.
Yeah, so I understand
that. We definitely have the genes.
So essentially what you're highlighting is that a lot of us are susceptible to it. However, if we take action in our lifestyle, they are preventable. Yes. That's what you're saying.
Yep. So what you're saying is we're not doing enough as individuals.
Yes.
Say it, Dr. Masni.
Yes,
we are complacent. We can blame the doctors. We can blame the government. We can blame everything.
We have to blame ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you think the earlier listeners who sent in that text and say, at the end of the day, it's cultural problem that if we think chubby kids are cuter, if we think that, oh, it's okay, you know, the occasional mama store, it's fine. You come up with excuses after excuses. Do you think this is our cultural problems that actually get us into this slippery slope?
When is the culture of going to mama store started? Is this after the urbanization? We used to walk a lot. This is not really a culture. This is something that being slowly developed with the urbanization.
Excuses of life.
Yes. This comes slow. This is not really culture because this is after the urbanization. Mm-hmm. I would say,
it can be a new culture. It doesn't have to be traditional culture.
True. Okay.
Do you think government needs to be cruel to be kind?
I agree.
I disagree. You know, I think another state may not help.
For an example, I think the Selangor government wanted to cap the closing time for 24-hour restaurants at midnight.
Mm-hmm. And I vote for it.
And it was the people who didn't want it. The policymakers were ready to go run with it, but we didn't want it. So do you think we need to be cruel to be kind? Just shut it down at midnight.
Yeah.
What else? We have a sugar tax now.
Recently, but that's mainly for the beverages. Okay, maybe we can increase further the sugar tax. I am keen. I'm glad. I was happy when they started tax for beverages, for the tax, sugar tax. Because Mexico started it much, much earlier. Mm-hmm. Their diabetes percentage is much higher, partly because of ethnicity and also their lifestyle in Mexico.
There's a thinking to say that it's not just the sugar, it's the carbohydrate as well. So what's your view about processed rice that we eat in Malaysia? It itself, it's almost as bad as sugar itself. What's your view on carbohydrate and our consumption of rice?
The portion is large.
is too big.
Too big. Portion's too big. We should go back to the one that we've been, ministry has been harping of late, which is quarter-quarter half. So I love... quarter-quarter half plate. So I love to show this to my patient, quarter-quarter half, when I showed them the round plate, etc. So it showed the half is the rice.
Mm-hmm.
The quarter is just the veggie. The half should be the veggie and fruits. Quarter should be... a quarter about my fish here, yeah, their own fish, and another quarter is their protein.
Mm-hmm.
The protein is, we have to stress on the cooking method same time. Okay, so that's the quarter-quarter half method, a plate method,
mm-hmm.
Which should be implemented, which is right, but at the same time, about when you mentioned about the processed food, when it's unprocessed, there will be lots higher fiber intake. So that will definitely help also the fullness, the less GI, the peak glycemic index, lower glycemic index. So that's definitely help with the insulin.
So this goes back to, you know, when one person is diagnosed, the whole family now needs to
change
their habit. Part to...
I always say you don't have to be so drastic. Nobody's saying you can't eat the rice. You can.
Oh, you can. I love to say this to my patient. But nasi tak bersalah.
Don't blame the rice.
Yes, don't blame the rice. Nasi tak bersalah. They will always give excuses when they see me. Oh, doctor, I eat sweet things. I eat too much. I will stop the rice. No, nasi tak bersalah, I kata. You eat, but cut down your portion.
Mm-hmm.
Choose what you eat. Always the 2C. Choose and control the portion. Choose your food and control your portion.
You make it sound so simple, isn't it? I love my rice, don't you, George? I love it. You know, I have to deprive myself of rice, especially when you have kuah. You know, we've been cursed with kuah. The Indians, the Chinese, and the Malays.
Yes.
How to eat kuah without the rice? You know, so find a way.
The santan.
Yes. Without the kuah or the sambal, how do you eat? What do you eat it with?
You know that when that quarter-quarter half plate method, you have to start your food with all those veggie and fruits first, followed by your protein, then your carbs. So when I heard that, okay, so I will eat my rice plain. So you can't just do that. They need to enjoy their life.
Okay.
So that's what we change.
Yeah. We're discussing diabetes and the family. It was World Diabetes Day on Wednesday, the 14th of November. We've spoken about the older person. We've spoken about the middle-aged person and their challenges. What about the kids? We're worrying about the kids now. We're seeing more and more children being diagnosed with diabetes. This is a never-ending story. I'm always very, very concerned. People are going to reach this late stage of management of diabetes much earlier in life. George, don't you think?
Yeah, end stage, well, because early on we highlighted one of them.
Yes, if management is not the best,
diabetes,
right?
And then, but the thing is that young, productive men and women ended up with blindness, ended up with heart diseases, ended up with amputations, and all these are detrimental to our new generations.
Okay, at a productive age.
We'll come back and speak about the children. We have one question here from Iz and about the children and cost. And if you have a question, just give us a call quickly, 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet BFM Radio.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's a Friday. It's our Doctor in the House series. Mm-hmm. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. Joining us also Dr. Masni Mohammad. She's a consultant endocrinologist from Hospital Putrajaya. We're discussing diabetes and the family in view of World Diabetes Day, which was about 2 days ago. We've gone through quite a lot. Not a pretty picture for Malaysia at the moment. We are...
Pick up call.
I don't know what is a wake-up call.
You know, I'm a bit surprised that we don't actually get that many phone calls today. I have this theory that it's either, as a nation, we don't really treat diabetes as a serious disease, and everyone just says, it's a brush of diabetes. My grandmother has it. Everybody has it. So what? And then so culturally, we don't treat it as serious enough until it kind of like goes down that really terminal stages. Or alternatively, we just kind of like just get so immune with all these and say, we give up at some point. Do you agree? give up that, you know, it's just diabetes, it's just too difficult to deal with.
Or it's just one of those things that we will get anyway.
Just it's because of, giving up.
That's because, right. of,
because of our diet, yeah.
And our genes and, yeah. you know. The, of course, like for my in my case, I think the Indian population has a very high rate of diabetes.
Yeah,
in this
compared
country.
To the other.
Are you scared? Are you, you know, you?
Why do you think you? I'm at the gym 3 to 4 times a week? I'm afraid.
I'm afraid too. My father, my father was a diabetic, so every 6 months I will check my sugar. So I've been walking up and down the stairs. I force everyone to follow my rounds. We're walking up and down the stairs, walk.
And
right?
how many and of course, sorry, all three of us have got like
family history
vulnerability? Yeah.
To be fair, I have no family history.
All right,
but you never know
the genes. Mm, yeah, compared to the three, all these three ethnicity, Indian, Malay, and Chinese. Of course, Indian 22% higher compared to Malay 16%, and Chinese is 14%. The ethnicity multiple times has been done. It is the highest risk. Ethnicity partly because of ethnicity.
And you see, we know this, yep. and. And we're still not doing enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. We have a question here from Iz who's saying, we have a family member who's type 2 diabetes and she was diagnosed when she was only 10 years old. When she was diagnosed, we were surprised that such chronic diseases are not being given proper attention. Mm-hmm. It was a new learning process for us. Second, it's not cheap to maintain the health and medical expenses of providing diabetic patients for a family who have an income of 3,000 per year. Why are the insulin so expensive? And why are we still backward on new technology, on changing and providing a normal lifestyle to this child? We found excellent technology outside Malaysia, but why are we still backward? If our doctors, professors and ministers, do they lack this knowledge?
Surprisingly, we are not backward. Well, if let's say this is 10 years old, a child, so probably most likely this is a type 1. Mm-hmm. And type 1 is a condition of type 2 diabetic where there's no insulin in the body. No insulin, unlike type 2. It's just lack of insulin, mm-hmm. insufficient. Type 1, there's no insulin, so they need insulin to survive.
But that's an autoimmune disease, right?
Autoimmune disease, okay. Yep. So they need the insulin. So there are many ways of giving insulin. So it has to be 4 times insulin injections per day. The basal insulin, the other insulin is to cover the meals. And we have few patients on pump. I think that's what she meant. But
type 2 diabetes, however?
Type 1, they have this on pump many. I even have type 1, type 2 diabetic on a pump.
Sorry,
Iz
has just replied to say it's type 1 diabetes. That the 10-year-old
I'm sure this
child.
Is type 1.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is type 1.
Okay, see, you took the endocrinologist immediately to know it was type 1.
Because, and we have all this, the insulin, all insulin in US and Europe, we have it in Malaysia. Mm. We have it. When it comes to rapid insulin, we even in public hospital, we have that rapid insulin. Rapid meaning very fast-acting insulin, so which inject and immediately it into the blood vessels. But the usual, mainly 80 to 90% of insulin in public hospital are the conventional insulin or human insulin. Mm. Which is still cheap.
Dr. Masri, incidentally, how many proportions of under 18 are actually type 1? How many proportions are type 2?
Under 18, I mean, there are type 1 and type 2.
Okay, because to be under 18 and to get type 2 is pretty scary, right?
Oh, yes. I'm seeing more and more type 2s in under 18. Obesity related. And they come in with DKA.
Right.
What is that?
Ketoacidosis. They come in with hyperglycemia emergency. High glucose and coming with as emergency.
Because they didn't know they were diabetic. Know.
If they are aware, the family are aware of the symptoms, they would have come early.
Right.
Most of the family members do not aware of the symptoms. They have symptoms already.
And this is not autoimmune type 2
not
diabetes
autoimmune.
In childhood no. and under 18. And we never saw that before, right?
Yes. This is past 10 years. We start seeing more and more, less than 18 years old, obese, diabetic.
So it's a medical emergency when they do come in.
They come in, yes.
Oh, dear.
So another statistics that actually get us quite worried about our nation.
Weight-related.
Okay, we have Chia Ailing who's saying, I think individuals should be blamed. However, government should work hard to educate and encourage exercise. I see many places in China, people are having group dance sessions. They always exercise in the morning or in the evening. But in Malaysia, the percentage is very low. Government can have some trainers and some of the public field to encourage such exercise besides education on food and taxes.
Get the treadmills next to the mama store. I think that will work.
I think Sadiq is trying to do something.
You'll be surprised when I suggest this to my patients. It's hot, doctor.
Yeah.
It's hot. Oh, I'm ashamed, doctor, to go out. But these are the excuses. They have many excuses.
This is what I said, that a lot of people give up. They just kind of say, well, it's just going to happen to me anyway, so I just give up.
It's too difficult.
True.
Okay, now that is a big problem. Mm-hmm. So do we have this management in place, Dr. Masni? Would you say we'll be able to have a plan to reduce the number of diabetics in the country by a certain period of time? What are we doing? We need to be aggressive. I can tell you one thing you can do. Revamped diet, sale of food in school canteens.
Oh, they've started doing it. They've started doing that. They've changed the policy of this the canteen, the owner. So no more nasi lemak. What else? Yeah.
No more nasi lemak. That is really sad, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, I loved nasi lemak.
Come correct. You come correct what you're saying.
But then I grew up when?
We're going to get salad counter now.
Salad counter, true. Salad counter, fruits, healthy sandwiches. That should be the way.
Healthy sandwiches with nasi lemak.
It starts from school. So they this is what they start in Australia and also in Singapore. They change, so the obesity has start sort of like stagnant. You only notice all these changes after 10 years. So it's sort of getting stagnant, not increasing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Obesity challenge.
Another question from Kael. She's saying, why can we not be like our neighbors in Singapore? Uh-huh. They have cheaper, healthy food, and sugar drinks are expensive.
That's beyond your call.
That
will be
the
public, those in the ministry.
Policy.
Policymakers, sorry.
Absolutely.
Policymakers,
Okay, so coming back to the diabetes and the family, how do we deal with caregiver burnout? I mean, I'm sure there are people who look after older people and, you know, who are diabetic, and it can be quite stressful for them too.
Yeah. It will be, and so it's a lifetime commitment taking care of your spouse or your parents, the loved ones. So it's life commitment. So it's not surprising for them to get this burnout. So this is what I suggest to my patients. Okay, take a break. So I have to take a break when they have to take care full time. So but we do have home nursing, not nursing home. Home nursing that come to their house to help out. Intermittently.
This is from government?
From clinic kesihatan itself. They can help to check the glucometer, to change, to do dressing, etc. Certain clinic kesihatan do provide that. Yeah, but depends on the parameter of their housing area. Mm-hmm. So that's the only one of the few things that they can
think of. Okay.
But being a family member, so let's say they do have other family members, work out among the other families, not just one. I noticed that only one family member is the one that only taking care in a family. Sometimes they don't distribute their work. So I think it should be distributed among the family members.
We have a comment here from Dr. Reyes. He's saying he currently works in a government clinic, Kesihatan. He sees at least 50 newly diagnosed cases of diabetes every month at least, and the trend is increasing. In his personal opinion, Dr. Reyes is saying dealing with diabetic patients is like dealing with patients with an addiction. An addiction to sugar is what he says. Mm-hmm. We have a question here. I'm 46, I'm not diabetic, but my yearly blood results indicate that my fasting sugar is on the increase, 4.6 to 5.3 in 15 years. My diet and weight is controlled. I'm heading to be a diabetic based on my blood result trending. I'm heading to be a diabetic person. So can he do anything?
Yes, the lifestyle changes. Okay, so
Can you be more specific for somebody like this?
Healthy, balanced diet. So less sugar, less salt, less fatty food intake, oily food intake. The other thing is cut down the portion, the balance. Yeah? So you must have your protein, your carbs, and also your veggie. The veggie should be 5 servings per day. 5 servings per day. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that quarter-quarter health should be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the healthy, balanced diet. Okay, for what about a plus with physical activity? For normal body weight, 30 minutes, 3 times per week. So about 150 minutes per week for a normal body weight to prevent diabetes. To prevent diabetes. So that's physical activity. Those overweight and obese, they need to increase this 150 minute per week to 250 and ultimately 350 minute per week. So basically about 60 minutes per day.
Okay.
About 60 minutes. So
right.
That physical activity, it has to be implemented.
Muhammad Shani Abdullah, I think he's a huge advocate for anti-tobacco. And he's asking, is there an impact of smoking on diabetes?
Yes. Straight yes.
How so?
Stop smoking. So as an anti-inflammatory, so it does affect your insulin in your pancreas.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So smokers have more likelihood of getting diabetes because of the cigarettes itself impacting the pancreas.
Mm-hmm. Karen is asking, she's saying media TV should be blasting quick commercials of exercise, steps, methods with enough reminder. People should just start moving.
Wow. We've got lots and lots of suggestions.
Start moving.
Dr. Asad
is saying we need to change this attitude that exercise will solve matters. When you talk about diabetes and weight issues, 90% is diet related, 1% is affected by exercise, but we focus on 90% on exercise and eat, you know,
I'm not talking about exercise only, I'm talking about diet just now.
Yes, we can reverse diabetes
and
have it, you know, all in, you know, sorted out with our diet. So you know what? Just cut down the rice now, you know. Quick question, can keto diet help diabetics in their diet?
Okay.
Yes.
That's a good one.
This one is like all over.
Yeah.
Keto diet seems to be the solution to everything.
I'm not a proponent for this keto diet, but I'm not against it at all. So I have a patient with a diabetic patient who started keto meaning no carbs at all. Sugar went so good, excellent. But my next question, how long can you survive with this keto diet?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time they can last only for 6 months. Most of them, barely 6 months, 1 year, most of them cannot last for 1 year. Okay, but make sure the kidney is okay, because they're high risk of getting kidney problem in diabetic. They have proteinuria. I'm against this keto diet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Your levels may be fine, but your other organs may be impacted. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your message this World Diabetes Day, diabetes and the family.
Okay. Let me see.
Where does she start? Okay. Just a simple message for the nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Diabetes is increasing. All right. But it's definitely preventable. So take care of our life, have a healthy lifestyle, low sugar, low fat, be more physically active. Family support is very crucial or important. So we need our family to support in everything in our life. Yeah, so in managing our diabetes. Yeah?
George.
All right. I think, Mira, three statistics, if that doesn't send chill down people's spine, right?
Okay. I know.
1 in 6, we take pride in many things, but this one we shouldn't take pride in. And then having the 1 in 6 above 18.
Yep.
And then the world... largest proportion of people who have got complications of dialysis because of diabetes, and also emerging proportion number of people under 18 who's got type 2 diabetes. I think if that doesn't make us scared, you know, nothing will.
Okay. Thank you both very much for joining me today. Our Doctor in the House series, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and Dr. Masni Muhammad, a consultant endocrinologist from Hospital Putrajaya, speaking to us about diabetes and the family on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.